Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Yes, that line falls on the right.
Bay. Is that the unemployment line?
Not that Maggie. Back in town.
Yeah.
Look out, old Maggie is back.
Chris McMichael. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 202 on the Fan. McMonagle here with you. You know how it works. I got you for 3 hours, all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Fleegs on the other side. We are taking your phone calls at 888-808-1019 on this reaction every Monday to week two in the NFL. Jets get a victory. They do have a key injury, obviously, but they do get their first win of the year, and we'll talk about it. But this open is reserved for a special franchise. You know, we like to say, same old Jets, LOL Jets. Well, if this isn't the same old Giants over and over again, and I heard Lori mention it, I heard it in the postgame of the Sunday Night Football broadcast here on The Fan. This is the ninth time in the last 12 years that the New York Giants have started 0-2. This is the ninth time in the last dozen years that the season is over in week two. And we can go through the schedule and we will. And where's the first win coming from? I've heard that about 100. I don't know where the first win's coming from. I have no idea. I know where it should have came from. And it should have been yesterday against the Washington Commanders. But this team is inept, and they find ways to lose. They find new and innovative ways to lose. They are the first team in NFL history to score 3 touchdowns, not allow any touchdowns, and lose the football game. And the most refreshing and only thing I can say positive about the New York Jets is this morning, while I kill them, I won't have to kill Daniel Jones. And we won't have to talk about how poor the quarterback played. And I can actually get off it for a second. It's very difficult for me. I've owned up to this. And maybe it's a flaw of mine. And I'm open to the idea that I have flaws. No one's perfect. It's a flaw of mine that I'm unable to have real conversations about the New York Giants without involving the quarterback, because of how important the position is, because of how it's the future of your franchise, because of the money they paid him, the decisions and the ramifications of it. It's very difficult for me to have a serious conversation about the New York Giants without the quarterback. So in that aspect, let me thank Brian Daboll, because he's allowed me to not have to yell about Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones was fine in this game. Daniel Jones was good in this game. Daniel Jones was not great in this game. Daniel Jones was as good as you can be with this slop, the amount of possession he had, the amount of time he had. Daniel Jones did as well as you could possibly expect Daniel Jones to do. So he's not the problem. So at least we don't have to do that. Instead, we got to talk about the myriad of ways this team found a way to lose a game they had no business losing. Whether it's the defense that can't get off the field to save their lives, can't get off the field. It started in the first possession of this game. That clearly ended in a field goal like every other possession in the entire game. Other than taking a knee at the end of the half, the Washington Commanders scored points on every possession of the game. Yes, they held them the field goals. And yes, we could talk about how good the defensive red zone, the red zone defense was. Great. In the first possession, 3rd and 13, penalty. 3rd and 13 scrambles. Daniels, who couldn't throw the ball, couldn't get anything going whatsoever, still managed to run away from every single pass rush. Did they have one? I'm sorry, I forgot. They only have a first-round draft pick as an edge rusher and then a huge trade and contract to Burns as a pass rush. I forgot. Because they don't make an impact on the game. And this defense, this bend-but-don't-break mentality of Shane Bowen, absolutely was a disaster in this game. And they have been beaten by now a team that looks better, as they obviously Minnesota went and beat the 49ers earlier yesterday. But they've been beaten by Sam Darnold, and they've been beaten by a rookie quarterback who really can't get his pass game going, and a Commanders team that is absolutely atrocious, one of the worst defenses in the league. So, yeah, while we praise the Giants, and there are some positives, Daniel Jones played well. Neighbors look like a budding young superstar, and we'll get to him in just a second. They scored some points, threw some touchdown passes. There are positives. Did they play better than they did in week one, that embarrassing performance against Minnesota? Of course they did. They played much better. Offensively, which is what we've been looking for, they played much better in this game. Against one of the worst defenses in the NFL, they managed to show a functioning offense. But they still managed to do enough to stub their toes and find ways to lose. Whether it's the fumble, as they're about to, you know, go on a run there, at coming out of the second half, they have that opportunity to do the famous, you know, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Patriots move of scoring into the half and coming out of the second half and scoring. They're about to do that. A nice run from Singletary where he's about to get a first down. He ran the ball hard. He ran the ball well. But, of course, a fumble will end that drive. They always make the mistake. Always. And I'm burying the lead about the kicker just like, because the situation is so mind-numbing to me. And you want to talk about, and I know Brian Daboll had to answer questions about the hot seat, and it's been a conversation around this team, you know, because they fire coaches every 2 years. So clearly he's on borrowed time because this is year three. So that's the conversation. What's going on with this coach? You know, we've had it. Is he on the hot seat? Is he coaching for his job? Bill Belichick waits in the wings. That conversation's been around. You know what gets you fired as a head coach? Losing football games. He does that. You know what else gets you fired? Making the same mistakes over and over again. And we've seen this with Gano. We saw this last year with Gano heading into a game with injury. And on the first kickoff that gets called back, Gano pulls his hamstring. And he comes into this game. Right? He tweaked his groin on Saturday or whatever. I saw a tweet from Dan Duggan, covers the Giants for The Athletic, around noon, 11:30, noon, somewhere around there, talking about how uncomfortable Graham Gano looked in his warm-ups, that he's grimacing after kicks, that he cut his work, his pregame short, that Gillum the punter is trying field goals in the warm-up prior to the game. And yet they go into this game with no safety net at a position where, like, we obviously saw, me and Fliegelman were talking about this. Obviously, and we're going to get to it, 888-808-1019, Jermaine Johnson goes down for the New York Jets. Devastating injury. Looks like he's going to be gone for the year with a torn Achilles. Devastating injury for a young, talented edge rusher that they clearly need. And now we could really, for the first time, have an Hassan Reddick conversation of substance here. But there's other pass rushers. The Jets go in and out. They rotate their pass rushers. There, you lose a wide receiver, even if it's a dynamic player that you count on. You have other guys who could step up. You have an edge rusher. You lose. Other guys could step up. You lose a safety. You lose a cornerback. Other guys can step up. You have a kicker. Here we are going for two-point conversions on every touchdown and not kicking easy extra points to go up by four or having an opportunity to kick a field goal, give you the lead. This is what we're talking about. You can't have no safety net at a position where inherently there's one of them. If you know he is injured heading into the game, even if you think he can go, there's a 53-man roster. You have the kicker on the practice squad. Bring him up. Have a backup just in case something happens like it did last year. It's mind-numbingly stupid. Now, again, I'll quote Brian Daboll. I'm not a doctor. He's not a doctor. I have no idea if he pulls his hamstring, whether he had a groin or not. This is not a groin on a kick where that's when he lost it and it was clear that that was the issue. We don't know. That's fair, I suppose. I mean, it could be all connected. Everything always is. It's likely that that's the cause of it, or it wouldn't have happened otherwise. I don't know. But whatever the case may be, he came into the game favoring an injury. And you allowed yourself to be in a position. Oh, who do you think you are? The greatest show on turf? You don't think your field goal kicker is going to come into play? You're the New York Giants. You score 30 points once a year. Haley's Comet comes around more often than 30-point performances from this offense. You didn't think you might get into a field goal kicking contest against the Washington Commanders? This is the kind of stuff that gets you fired. I understand the offensive game plan was better. I understand they got the best out of Daniel Jones. I know they threw 18 out of 28 passes to their stud wide receiver who warranted it, got open, made big plays, dropped the last pass, which, by the way, I understand we're not going to, you can't kill them. You can't point to it as the reason they lost, because you know what? If it weren't for him, they wouldn't be in that position. But you want to be a great player in this league? You have to make that catch, plain and simple. I believe and have faith that he will the next time. He looked like a dynamic player. But you want to be a great, young, talented wide receiver? You have to make that catch. So while we could talk about his 10 receptions and all the yards and the touchdown pass, the biggest play of the game, he let a win slip through his fingers. That's just a fact. And we shouldn't be afraid to say it. He needs to be better. That catch has to be made. The 10 prior are meaningless when you drop that one. That's a fact. But it's not what we're going to scream about today. It's the inept, it's the unprepared head coach. He did not give his team a chance to win. Now, I know if you play the numbers, and I saw this a couple different people, where could the Giants still lose if Gano was healthy? Sure. Right? There's that third touchdown. There was a fourth down that they went for it, got it to Neighbors, ended up scoring a touchdown where they would have kicked the field goal in that spot. So ultimately, you could have had the two extra points to make it 14, then the field goal make it 17. If you kick a field goal instead of the misplay by Neighbors at the end of the game, now it's 20. You still lose 21-20, whatever the case may be. That's not the point. Honestly, it's not the point. The point is the Giants willingly went into a game without a backup plan or a safety net for an injured kicker who had the same issue last year, and you got burnt in the same way. They just played a game against the Commanders where they didn't have a kicker and Washington didn't need a punter. I mean, you want to talk about embarrassing. Did they get embarrassed like they did in week one? No. Did they get dominated? No. But they're ill-prepared and just lost a game they had no business losing to against a dreadful team with a rookie quarterback who I think is going to be good in this league, but isn't ready to be that guy just yet. And instead, this defense continued to allow third down conversion after third down conversion. 7 field goals they scored on every possession. I mean, this is what gets coaches fired. I'm sorry. The question is absolutely warranted after the game. This is now the second consecutive year where they're just not prepared to start the season. I know they had a second half against Arizona last year, but like, he's not learning from his mistakes. Now he's got a defensive coordinator, let's be honest, right? Who's supposed to stop the run. That's what he did in Tennessee with defensive front heading into the season. That's one of the strongest units of the New York Giants. You got one of the best D tackles in the league. You just got these two edge guys. The linebacking core of the Hurricane is probably one of the best they've had in forever. Should be able to stop the run. That's what you know this defensive coordinator is going to do. 215 yards on the ground from the Commanders in this game. 215 yards. And the reason why he's here and not one of the better defensive coordinators in this league that pretty much propelled them to a playoff spot 2 years ago is because him and the coach couldn't get along. The bloom is off the rose with this head coach. That is a despicable display of ineptitude. I'm sorry. That is a terrible job by this coach. Now, his game plan was much better. His offensive game plan was much better. He got much better out of the quarterback. The offense looked like it could function. Great. Great. I'm very excited for the future. I can't wait to play Cleveland on the road. Let's see how that goes. They just did it against Washington. And they still couldn't find a way to win this game. I mean, and you're looking at, and I'm sorry to say this, like, we could talk about how the offense looked better and you're looking for improvement every week, sure. Where, like, and I don't want to play the where are they going to get the wins from, but let's just be honest. This team is not good enough to beat who they have in front of them. If this is a game you can't win, if you can't win a game where you scored three touchdowns and your opponent scored none, if you can't win a game where the conversation around the quarterback has held down this team for forever and he played well, you can't win a game where your young wide receiver showed exactly who he can be. If you can't win a game against a rookie quarterback, if you can't win this game against Washington, what game are you going to win? So I'm sure a lot of Giant fans are going to be mad about tank conversation, and I'm sure a lot of Giant fans are going to be mad that we're already having discussions about the coach's job, but this is what happens in the NFL when your season is dead after week two. And make no mistake. Make no mistake. This Giants season is dead. And the idea that this coach went into this game and didn't and was unprepared to possibly deal with an injury to the one guy who doesn't have a backup, that you did not give a backup to that position when he came in with a groin injury and we've seen him be unable to make kicks because of injury. The idea that you stood there at the postgame and said, we thought he'd be fine. We thought he'd be fine. It's hard to take. It's hard to take. And as we stare ahead and we look at Cleveland and we look at the Cowboys and we look at where the hell the next couple of wins are coming from, what does it matter? And if I'm John Mara, what has this group done? Has the drafting helped? Well, let's be honest. They got two first round picks. Their first draft, Joe Shane, because he's part of the decision and the roster construction and who played today and who was suited up today. I mean, let's be honest. Let's look at the draft picks. You got Kayvon Thibodeau, who I wouldn't call a bust, but is he impacting these games? You've got Evan Neal, who can't see the field. You've got a third round wide receiver in Hyatt, who, I mean, I guess they're just giving up on. He doesn't see the field. They traded for and paid Burns, who I think, to be fair here, two games is a bit early to make a decision on that, but 0 for 2. Like, what has this GM, they paid $40 million to Daniel Jones. You want to say they had no choice? I might even agree with you. They did it. There's always a choice. They paid $40 million to this quarterback. They've drafted at least three players in premium spots who have done absolutely nothing and hardly can see the field, two out of the three. They've created a defense and a defensive backfield who can't get off the field against the Washington Commanders and get blown out by Sam Darnold. What exactly has this group shown, other than a surprise season where they found a way to run the ball with Saquon Barkley, not turn the ball over, play a last play schedule, have a defense that made plays and outplayed its actual talent because of Wink Martindale, who, oh yeah, by the way, this coach couldn't work with. What has this group shown you that they deserve a year three? Same old Jets, same old Giants. Another disastrous performance another game they had, they absolutely could have won and lost. And sure, we could talk about the positives and the young wide receiver, and Daniel Jones played better, and the defense didn't give up touchdowns. The defense was a joke. The bend and but don't break. I mean, if you bend that much, is there a difference? Just to, you know, it's to be a Giant fan right now, it is extremely hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Extremely hard. And it's going to be hard not to convince me if they don't beat Cleveland and they get embarrassed by Dallas and they're going to take Daniel Jones off the field because they can't risk him getting hurt. It's going to be hard to convince me I should care about the Giants winning another football game. It's going to be hard to convince me that they're not better off losing every damn one of them. And I shouldn't have to be talking like this in September. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Jets and their win and some of the positives and negatives you could take from that game. Wasn't an overly impressive performance, but a win is a win. Aaron Rodgers did show Aaron Rodgers, the young running back, and now this running back tandem showed they could be explosive in both the run game and the pass game. You do lose an edge rusher, and that's going to open up the conversation more than ever to Hassan Reddick. But ultimately, the Jets did get a victory on the road, which is never easy in this league. Aaron Rodgers in this offense that seemed weird with their tempo early in the game. I have to admit, I love Aaron Rodgers, and I do think he played relatively well in this game, and I expect him to have a good year and play winning football. He looked like he was in slow motion at times in the first half of this game. So we'll get to that, and then, of course, we'll get to the baseball. As the Yankees take 3 out of 4... against the Boston Red Sox and the world great manager, Alex Cora. Can have a little fun with Alex Cora coming up. As they are now 3 games up on Baltimore, and the Mets lose 2 out of 3 to Philadelphia. Heartbreaking loss on Saturday. Tough loss on Sunday. Still great pitching for the most part. But now are tied with Atlanta heading into this final stretch. So we still have pennant race baseball. We still have a jet season. And we.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You can cry and yell about the end of the New York Giants season.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I know there's probably a lot of people who will tell you the Giants were better in this game. And it wasn't the slop we saw last Sunday. And that is true. The Giants played a representative game. They were in it. They had an opportunity to win it. The offense looked much better. They got 3 touchdowns. 2 touchdown passes. Daniel Jones looked good. And I still don't believe in him. And I still think it's best if the Giants move on. I mean, one game isn't going to make me change my opinion of him overall, but I've been saying, I feel like I've been open and honest that I don't think he's the worst thing. I don't think he's that bad. I mean, he gets these rankings where he's the 35th best quarterback in the league. It's ridiculous. He's shown more than to be put behind quarterbacks who haven't played yet. Guys who aren't even starting. Rookie quarterbacks who are riding the bench to start their career have been ranked higher. It's absurd. And I said going into this game, I expected Daniel Jones to play much better. Washington stinks, though. Baker Mayfield put on a performance for the ages against Washington in week one. This defense stinks. They're one of the few teams in the league that you could say the Giants might have a better roster than. I expected Daniel Jones to play well, and that's not to take credit away from him. He played well in this game. He looked better making decisions. The number one best thing that Daniel Jones did was his pocket presence. Pocket presence was far superior than it was a week ago. And even most of last year, I thought he had good pocket presence. He stepped up when he had to. He didn't look to just run right away. He stepped up, slid to his right or left, made good throws. A couple of balls came wobbly out of his hand. I mean, you know, he gave you a good enough winning performance. The defense couldn't get off the field. And then, I mean, the coach, I'm not even sure, and this is how, you know, it's hard to make the argument, and I know I'm screaming about the coach. I don't even know if they win the game with him. Like, I don't even know if they have the kicker, they win. I think that's an easy statement to say. I don't even know if it's true because the game's played completely different. One, we don't know if he has the hamstring and doesn't get hurt. Like, if he has the groin injury but doesn't pull his hamstring, he might miss kicks because of the groin injury. Like, we don't know. And as long as he can kick it, I don't expect him to supplant him with the guy from... with the kicker from the practice squad, but he's got to at least be there in case of injury. But I don't even know if they win. But you can't allow yourself to be in that position. They played a game last year where they didn't have a kicker. They played a game last year where they couldn't attempt extra points. They played this game last year. The coach has got to learn from his mistakes. This regime has got to learn from mistakes. Right, we've talked about it. He had a bad relationship with his defensive coordinator. He's got to learn from that. He's unable to be on the sidelines and handle poor offensive plays, and he gets mad at Kafka, and he's screaming and yelling. So he learned from it, and he took the reins for himself. It's about growth. And if this coach is going to lose and show no growth in decision-making and make the same mistakes over and over again, well... what do we have here? What do we have here? More losing. It's impossible to take. So, yeah, they were better. Yes, you got to see Malik Nabers look like he was about to take over a game. Yeah, you know, they scored some touchdowns. They lost. They lost to a team they should have beat. And here we are, 0-2. The real meaningful winning is done. And the only thing left to do is to have meaningless wins and ruin their opportunity to get a quarterback to rebuild again. Because that's where we are. It's where we are. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Oh, Chris, man, you know what? I'll tell you something. So the game ends, and I said, wow. They played well enough to lose.
Yep.
And then I get hit with it. So the Giants, I guess an original NFL team, I'm pretty sure. 100 years. In 100 years of the NFL, no team has ever scored 3 touchdowns.
Correct.
And then the other team didn't score any touchdowns.
They scored 3. They scored 3, didn't allow any. Yep.
And they lost the game.
Yep.
So they didn't just that had never happened before.
Nope.
And I'm wondering, does John Mara, is he a patent lawyer? Is he going to patent that loss? They just invented a way to lose, yep, that has never ever been seen.
Yep.
And now this is the other thing, and I've been wondering about this. It was just a general comment. You know, I wonder what the preseason is actually for with some of these teams. Especially, you know, what do the kickers do in the preseason, the punters? Okay? Because I know they're not running drills with the offensive line, right?
Right.
I know they're not, you know, out there, you know, getting hammered around. I mean, do the special teams coach does not say to the punter, hey, look, man, why don't you go spend like 45 minutes every day and just practice kicking field goals just in case?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's not a terrible idea.
Well, and I'll tell you why. Chris. No, and I'll tell you why, Chris. Because had they need me per diem, okay, well, I would have been uncomfortable. I could have kicked some field goals for them today. And,
well, I mean, listen, I think Gilliam could have. Like, he missed the one extra point. He missed the first extra point. They said during halftime he was out there working, and he made a 50-yard field goal. So it's not like he's incapable of it. He's just not very good at it. And they felt they had plays to make with the two-point conversions, and they weren't going to trust it at the end of the game necessarily from that far away. I think Dable was asked, if they were able to continue that drive and get down to the 10 or 15, would they have attempted a game-winning field goal? I think they would have. It's infuriating. And you have to have, and I don't disagree with you on some point that you could have your punters be your backup kick guys. Now, he was the backup kickoff. You know, he kicked the ball off and did well with it. That's something, but if you don't have that guy, if you're unable to trust him, you've got to have another guy heading into the game with an injury from, and I'm fully willing to admit that it's a freak thing. I don't know. I think it's just easy to say now, of everything in the body is connected. So could it have been that because of the groin injury, the hamstring injury happened? It could be. Could it have been a perfectly healthy Graham Gano could pull a hamstring running? Absolutely. I have no idea if one caused the other. But I saw Dan Duggan of The Athletic tweet out early in warmups that Graham Gano is uncomfortable, that he's grimacing, that he kicked far less field goals than he typically does, and that Gilliam was attempting field goals in warmup. If they're in a situation where the field goal kicker is grimacing after kicks. Now, are you telling me he was fine on Saturday without grimacing, without any issue, and then suddenly Sunday he wakes up and goes to kick and it's grimacing? Like, what are the odds of that? There had to have been some indication that Gano, although could go, could make the kicks, was struggling in some way. And it just happened to them last year against the Jets. How can you go into that situation and not have the backup? Now, even if it's a fluke injury, and it could happen to anyone, to Dable's point, anyone could get hurt running and pull a hamstring. That's true. But the guy had, like, you were in position. You had the opportunity. You had the information. Luckily enough, even if it was a fluke injury and a fluke hamstring injury, you were lucky enough to be given a warning. You were lucky enough to have information that there was a possible injury issue with this quarter, with this kicker. And even if it was fluke, you were in a position to be there to step in and fix the fluke because of the information you had, and they ignored it. 2 years running, they've made the same critical mistake that you could very easily argue cost them both games. How do you lose a game to your crosstown rival in a manner of not having a kicker and allow your season to be 0-2 because of the same mistake? That's the kind of thing I can't tolerate. You have to learn from your mistakes. The NFL is hard. It moves fast. It comes at you fast. He had a great year one. No one thought there wouldn't be any issues. It's the New York Giants. There was going to be issues. But they've got enough problems on their own. They've got enough things that'll pop up for the first time to not be able to learn from your mistakes. That's what's sticking in my craw right now. What's sticking in my craw is that they have been through this and made the same mistake twice. Craig in Newark. What's up, Craig?
Hey, Chris, C-Mac, it's good to hear you. Listen, I agree with everything you said, man. Just give me a minute and let me explain something.
Yeah.
First of all, if we got to watch this horrible team, and that's what it is, this bad football, if they're going to lose, then why don't we just do this? My mother told me when I was young, if you're going to do something, do it right. Lose good. Lose for the next 2 years. That's my game plan. Get good pieces next year in this next year's draft, and then you know what? The Mannings have been good players. Go for Arch Manning.
Yeah,
because you know what? That's somewhat of a game plan. If you're going to lose, there should be gold at the end of this rainbow. And yeah. I don't see any in the near future, Chris. Not with this team. Maybe the wide receiver looks good. But name one other thing that looks good on this team.
I mean, Dexter Lawrence, I thought the defensive front was going to be a strength of them. They got absolutely run over, 215 yards. In the run game, like nothing else looks good. I'm with you. Nothing else looks good. I mean, if you think about what they were.
At least you can pray that Arch Manning can be.
I can't look down. I can't look down the line with Arch Manning. I understand your point. Thank you for the phone call. I can't try and lose for 2 years now. I mean. I can't go into it with that. If that's the scenario they find themselves a year from now, 0-2 again, 0-3 again, I don't know. And again, I'm not, you know, the tank stuff, I'm not there yet. Let's be honest. I'm not there just yet. I mean, I know in my gut that we're going to get there, but I can't be there just yet. Despite the fact that like 6% of the teams, I think Lori gave the stat as I was driving in, 6% of the teams in the last handful of years, last 5-6 years, since the new playoff format, make the playoffs at 0-2, 6%. The Giants aren't going anywhere. Like, we know this. They might win some games, right? They might win some games. The offense might continue to improve, I suppose. I do believe Brian Daboll can be a good offensive coach. He's proven it. Can they win some games? Sure, but they're not going to win enough to really be a winning team this year. And I just don't want to be caught in purgatory because it feels like that's where they've been, and it sucks to feel that way, man. It sucks to constantly feel this way where it's like, I want to go out there and root for the Giants to win, but like ultimately, if they win 6-7 games, right? Say they win 6-7 games, they turn this thing around or whatever, even if they win 7-8 games. Like if they miss the playoffs, and I don't believe in the quarterback, unless those 8 games are won on the back of Daniel Jones and Neighbors, you know, 3-4 offensive, you know, passing touchdowns a game, and Daniel Jones goes off and suddenly proves he can be the guy. Short of that, like, what does winning the games mean, really? Like, do I want to be drafting 12th to 15th? You know, oh, and I won some games, and I showed, maybe I have a coach. Like, what do you take from it? And I know a million things could happen on the way to those 8 games where you feel better about certain things, so I don't know. But it just feels like we're in the same position where they lose just enough and win just enough to be there to maybe get a wide receiver, maybe get an edge rusher, maybe get a left tackle or a right tackle or an offensive lineman, maybe to get a nice cornerback, but not to get a franchise-changing player, not to get the quarterback who can uplift this franchise. That they can't do. Rocco in Saratoga. What's up, Rocco?
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
I think I'm grimacing right now. I am grimacing. What do you think? Can I kick it? I'm grimacing. Nah.
I got you.
Guess what, Chris? I have great pocket presence. I have great pocket presence. Yeah.
Today's not the day to knock Daniel Jones. I'm not saying he was a world beater out there, but he was. I mean, He played the game well enough to win this one.
Right. That's the point.
Yeah, yeah.
Should have, could have, would have.
Yeah.
But he found a way not to.
Yeah, but it wasn't on him today.
No, I'm not saying it's on him. He threw some balls. Okay. But, he better have some too. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, with that freaking team. So that means I got my Giant Sundays back. I could just focus on the Jets now.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm not going to take this. They tease you every once in a while. The first game, forget about it. That was a total disaster never seen before, yeah. And I hope never again. And then they tease you this time, nothing. So come on, 0-2, you know there's no playoffs.
Yeah.
So what are we supposed to do? Sit there and just, oh yeah, this is great. Oh, that's a nice close game. I'm enjoying this. They're almost there. No, Chris, you know.
I'm with you, Rocco. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this conversation. I'm tired of, like, I don't want to be having the conversation week two. They do it 9 times out of the last 12. I mean, this is as bad. They are as bad a franchise in the NFL as there is. There's no one, like, it's hard to give me a franchise that's worse. I know the Jets haven't made the playoffs. I get that. And the Giants made the playoffs 2 years ago. I get that. And it's ultimately about playoff wins and playoff victories and getting to a Super Bowl. And they won a road playoff game 2 years ago. So that you want to say that makes them a better franchise than the Jets, who haven't been there in 13 years? Fine. Can't argue with you. I don't. It's an argument in futility. I have no desire to do it. But no, they lead the world in dead seasons in October, man. Every year. 9 out of 12. 9 out of 12. That goes back to Coughlin. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy how inept this franchise has been. And you're right. Like, there will be some. Like, I just heard Sal. I watch SNY a little bit as I get ready to head in here. And I heard Sal saying, you know, Brian Daboll's not in the hot seat because he showed improvement. The offense showed improvement. Like, okay, it did. And that was the bare minimum of what needed to happen. But they lost. He made a crucial roster decision that helped cost them the game. The defense couldn't get off the field. And he's the reason they don't have Wink Martindale, who right now, as whatever problems were last year, and the defense wasn't great last year, and whatever other problems, the cancer he was, for lack of a better term, inside the clubhouse, and, you know, his underlings leaking to the media and all that stuff. I get it. Wink Martindale deserved to go, but part of it was because this head coach couldn't make it work. And then you bring in a defensive coordinator who's supposed to stop the run, and Washington is running down the ball down your throat, and you can't get off the field. Like, this coach has to answer for a lot. A lot. Julius and T-Neck, what's up, Julius?
Yeah, you got to let yourself go with these guys. You'll go crazy if you start thinking that way with the Giants.
Start thinking one way.
You know, so getting tortured by the way they play.
Yeah.
You know what it is? You know, they got to get somebody like George Young back in there. Please, get a good general manager.
Yeah.
And
I mean, listen, I had faith.
Not a head coach. I mean, these are two easy things to say.
Yeah, I guess, Julius.
Another thing.
Yeah.
Remember Parcells used to go, well, you know, you got to, like, get some guys that just hold the floor down until we draft. Well, this guy, what, 3 years now? He hasn't even, no offensive line. Everybody else.
Well, yeah, the offensive line was better today. I mean, again, against the lousy Washington team, the offensive line was better.
They're retreads. They're no good.
No, I mean, listen, I don't think that's fair, Julius, just yet. I got to be honest. There's things to kill them on, and then things to at least say it's still up for debate. This group of offensive line, they did add offensive linemen. They added interior offensive linemen. They drafted a center last year. This is the second season. They do have an all-world left tackle. And, you know, right now you are just seeing this offensive line. The first week, not so great. Second week, better against Washington. I still think that's up in the air. We don't know if they fixed the offensive line. Like, we have to be fair where we have to be fair. For years, it's been a disaster. Don't get me wrong. It's been there failing for forever. It has been failing numero uno for all 12 of those 9 out of 12 0-2 starts. There's no doubt about it. And I'm certainly not telling you they fixed it. I'm just saying I don't know yet. There's a lot of things I do know. I know they're 0-2, and I feel like the season is over. I know the quarterback is not a franchise take-you-to-the-Super-Bowl quarterback. I know this defense is just not talented enough. I know this season is dead. What I don't know is whether or not they fix the offensive line, but it's almost a moot point. And I, Brian Daboll and this GM, Joe Shane, I had a lot of confidence in them. Year one was obviously a home run, and it's just gotten worse and worse. And when you look at the draft, yeah, I mean, those three, the three picks right there. I mean, you don't have to go further than those three picks. Kayvon Thibodeau is whatever you think he is. And again, you want to call him a, I don't think he's a bust. But, I mean, is he a sixth overall pick? Is he impacting the games like a top 10 pick should? Evan Neal can't see the field. Top 10 pick can't play. Third round wide receiver, that's where the draft is. The first rounds are supposed to be slam dunks. The first round picks are obviously supposed to impact your team. But where the draft is made, where your team is built, is in these later rounds. They drafted a wide receiver after not having wide receivers for forever. They drafted a wide receiver in the third round. He can't see the field. They've given up on him. Like, the drafting, the coaching... Like, I don't know how right now how you could feel stable about this. Like, I know the owner, right, doesn't want to fire coaches year after year. I know they've been through coaches every 2 years. It gets tiresome. And when you look at the better franchises in the sport, for the most part, there's some continuity. And you don't want to be going through coaches left and right. And I don't want to fire Brian Daboll. I want him to show me he's a coach. But last year was a disaster, and this year's gotten off to an even worse start as far as the coaching department goes. Unprepared for week one, got absolutely ran off the field. The offense showed absolutely nothing. And week two, he makes the same mistake he made against the Jets last year with the kicker situation. And, like, his defense is awful. And penalties, again, sloppy play. Come back to haunt this team. It's a
very tough situation for the Giant fan right now. Jesse in Queens. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, Chris. What's up, man? Good talking to you again.
Good talking to you, buddy. What's up?
I don't know, man. These Giants, it's a con operation, man. I'm tired of the rookie coaches, rookie GMs. I'm basically ready to go and call Belichick and say, hey, can you come in and fix us? You know, and that's it. I think Daboll had his Joe Judge moment when Judge was rambling at his press conference and they fired him. I think this game was it with the kickers and all that. So I think Dable's going to be gone soon. Time to bring in a real coach with experience, a real GM, fix this team the right way. If it takes 2-3 years, so be it. But let's do it the right way. Stop with the rookie coaches, rookie GMs. Enough already. It doesn't work. They tried Shermer. Didn't work. They tried Joe Judge. Didn't work.
Yeah. You know? No, I get you. Well, I mean, Shermer was a coach before, but I get your point.
Not that many years, Joe Judge was a rookie.
Yeah, no, everyone else was a rookie. Yeah, dating from Tom Coughlin on, Shermer was the only one with experience at the head coaching position. McAdoo was a first-time head coach. Shermer coached with Cleveland prior to the Giants. And then, obviously, Joe Judge was a rookie, and now Brian Daboll is a first-time head coach. And the GM is a first-time GM. Now, again, I thought he looked good on Hard Knocks. It's hard to defend him now. I mean, this team is just, it's very difficult. And you know, I do think that the Belichick discussion is very interesting. And I'll tell you right now, I mean, I don't know if they want to fire Daboll or not. I don't know how they view Daboll in the building. I don't know how John Mara thinks of Brian Daboll. But I will tell you this. If this season goes anywhere near what we think this season is going to go or how it looks right now, even if they want to keep him, even if they believe he shows enough, even if he wins some games, even if this offense starts to show life and scores some touchdowns and Daniel Jones wakes up or whatever the case may be, if they have another losing season and Bill Belichick is sitting there and he shows interest in being the Giants head coach, how in the world does this owner not do it? And I personally don't believe the idea that Bill Belichick wants to just or needs to just step into a perfect situation. Like, would he rather? I don't know what he'd rather. I just don't think it's eliminating from the conversation. Like, I don't think he's an older head coach who is chasing one last championship and will only go to a roster that's complete with a quarterback he can work with. Like, I don't know if that's the only way he'll come back into the league. I think he views himself as still in tremendous shape to be head coach, young and spry, and his brain's working pretty well. Like, I think he thinks he could coach for another 10 years. Like, I honestly think he believes that. And he might be right. I'm not even saying he's wrong. I'm just saying I think he feels that way. He's already got 6 Super Bowl championships. He's already got the designation of greatest head coach of all time. Like, I know he's in a war with Tom Brady, and Tom Brady got one outside the Patriot building. Does he need that to justify his career? Does he really care about the conversation? It was Brady, not bad. Like, does he need the Super Bowl that bad? Or would he be willing to come to a franchise and build the New England Patriots again somewhere else? Like, what would be a more impressive thing or a more statement on how great a coach Bill Belichick is? To come into a ready-made team with a quarterback who's just, you know, that team for whatever reason is underachieved. Let's just say the Dallas Cowboys. If he goes there, takes a Dallas Cowboy team that's up until yesterday, had a tremendous defense, Dak Prescott, whatever you think of him, come postseason time, he's one of the better regular season talented quarterbacks in the league, puts up the most numbers, touchdowns. If he goes to the Cowboys and suddenly gets them over the hump of their playoff drought, and now he'll be a hero for winning a Super Bowl in Dallas, no doubt. But if he goes somewhere that has the quarterback, has the roster, figures out a way just to get them from underachieving in the postseason and wins a Super Bowl, is that more an impressive thing on Bill Belichick's career? Or if he comes to the New York Giants and rebuilds the Patriots and has the Giants winning 11, 12 games a year in the NFC Championship game year in and year out, if he transforms another organization into, I won't say the word dynasty because that's too much to ask, but just into a stable winning franchise and maybe gets a Super Bowl that way, what's more impressive? What would be a more signature thing for his career? Like, look, this is what I do. I build franchises. Some guys can come in and win a Super Bowl with a great quarterback. I build dynasties. I build stable winning franchises. Because I'll tell you which one's more impressive to me. Even in the Giants Super Bowl runs, they didn't win 10, 12, 13 games. Give me the coach who can come in here and instill a mindset and a culture and a winning culture. And I would think that at his age still, that Bill Belichick would be willing to do that. But listen, we're weeks and weeks away from that. What I know right now is I have a coach who was unprepared the first 2 weeks of the year. In different ways, but unprepared the first 2 weeks of the year, making the same mistakes. And lost a game they had no business losing. They got blown out in a game they had no business being blown out in, and they lost a game they had no business losing. They're 0-2, and the season feels dead already.